U.S. to a AA over the summer. They specifically cited the increasing polarization, declining governance over the past 20 years. But more specifically, they cited the January 6th insurrection. Under your presidency, if you are reelected, what can you tell us about how stable the U.S. will be, especially as it appears that you are stoking some political divide? You held a rally in Waco, Texas, and you're sort of playing to this polarization of groups here.
Well, when I had the rally in Waco, we had 100,000 people show up. That's where they wanted the rally. You know, I'm like a businessman politician. You go where the people are, and I go to places. We had a tremendous rally this weekend. We're having rallies in Michigan. The rallies are bigger than they've ever been. We have, as soon as the season gets a little bit warmer, when we can do the outdoor. Right now, there's no arena that can hold.
Does it matter to you, though, that we are downgraded, that we've been downgraded, and that our credit rating could be at further risk? Should there be further political polarization?
Sure, but it's not because of January 6th. We get downgraded because of incompetent people, very incompetent people doing incompetent things. And as far as the dollar is concerned, we're losing countries. We lose Iran. We lose this one. We have Russia that's out. We have many, many countries that we throw out of the system, and we can't lose that system. That system is the dollar. That system is a very important system to the vitality and strength of our country. If we ever do lose that, they take out Russia. That China would love to be, you know, the leader of the pack is China, because they'd love to take it over. And it will be possible to take it over if we're not strong. We have to hold countries in. And if countries want to get out, we're going to have to say, well, if you want to get out of our system and go to, let's say, a Russian version or your own version, then we're not going to do any trade with you. And they'll be back in about 2 seconds. But it depends on who's posing that statement to whoever it is, the leader. Like, you're dealing with Macron, or you're dealing with the leaders. You have to be able to talk to them properly. Our people don't know how to talk to them. Our people are like, we go there hat in hand. We're like beggars. Our country is no longer respected. The people representing us are not respected. I just had Viktor Orban, a tough man from Hungary. He was at my place in Florida. I get along with him very well, friendly, but I have respect for him. He made the statement. I thought it was a wonderful statement. He said, we'll solve the problems of the world if Donald Trump comes back. He said Russia was afraid of him. China was afraid of him. We had no problems whatsoever under Trump. And now we have Israel being attacked, which, by the way, would have never happened. We have Ukraine and Russia fighting. That would have never happened. All of those dead people in blown up cities, because Ukraine is now just it's like a demolition site. What they've done to Ukraine, none of that would have happened. All those people would be alive today if the election result were, let's say, correct. It'd be nice.
You have all of this happening. We talked about the young Republicans who unfortunately have had their bearings like twisted by this to become unrecognizable. And you look at, I saw Vaughn Hilliard interviewing people at Trump rallies talking about civil war, saying that if they didn't win this time, they were going to use violence. They're going to take over state legislatures. They were going to take over courts. They were going to come to Washington. They were going to take over Washington. Charlie Sykes, this is not a test run. This is a guy that's told his followers, if I win, I'm going to be a dictator. And his followers are all in. And again, Charlie, how perverse that it's people that I went to church with, evangelicals, a lot of them, that seem to be swept up into this totalitarianism, this authoritarianism. And also small government Republicans, Tea Party types that wanted small government, they're now begging for an autocrat, for a tyrant, for a dictator.
And all of this is happening in broad daylight, in real time. And there's no subtlety.
That's
there's no secret about it. As Katie mentioned, he's leaning into his embrace of illiberal authoritarianism. He says it out loud. And, speaking of, the younger Republicans on the bench, you have people like Nancy Mace now who are forced to go out and justify the fact that this illiberal authoritarian who's talking about civil war is also been found liable for rape. So you begin to put together this picture, what Republicans are embracing right now, what they are endorsing, and what Donald Trump is bringing into this campaign. Because Donald Trump is not going to get better. I think throughout 2024, what you're going to see is his inability to restrain his id. And the fact that he's up there on stage at Mar-a-Lago talking about, you know, he's not controversial because he's the boss. He says something and it's over. This is clearly something that he admires. This is clearly something that he aspires to. And yes, it's alarming. And I know there are people out there who say, look, you know, you guys are engaging in Trump derangement syndrome. Simply listen to Donald Trump. Listen to what he is saying. Listen to what his supporters are saying on a daily basis. It's not a secret.
This is the primal scream of a dying regime. Pray for our enemies, because we're going medieval on these people. President's not got a free shot. All these networks lying about the people. The people have had a belly full of it. I know you don't like hearing that. I know you try to do everything in the world to stop that, but you're not going to stop it. It's going to happen.
And where do people like that go to share the big lie? MAGA Media. I wish, in my soul, I wish that any of these people had a conscience.
Ask yourself, what is my task and what is my purpose? If that answer is to save my country, this country will be saved.
War Room. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Monday, 11 March, in the year of our Lord, 2024. 4 years ago, on this date, and hopefully get some clips up later, the mainstream media effectively, I think it was a Saturday, effectively called this a pandemic. They called what happened in 2020 a pandemic. Of course, we had been on it since mid-January because Miles Guo and other folks that we knew, that knew China very well, helped us work through what was happening in Wuhan. Remember, that's the lab where they were creating bioweapons. They now have all come to the conclusion, after lying for years, that this did not come from a wet market. It was made by man. It was made as a bioweapon. We'll leave that topic for maybe later in the show this afternoon. Right there, I wanted to compare and contrast, because, you know, they're running around about Biden doing this, Biden doing that, you know, this great speech. Of course, you saw I drew about 50 people in Atlanta. Drew about 50 people in Atlanta the next day. And Chris was saying, well, it was RSVP. It was invitation only. Well, whoever they invited didn't show up because only 50 people showed up. But right there, you see President Trump, and this is an amazing interview he gave this morning on CNBC. And he went yard in that answer right there. Particularly about, he's talking about guys not just NATO, but really coming off of the dollar and setting up an alternative currency. And he said, hey, you're going to do that, then maybe we don't trade with you. But President Trump's laying down heavy policy. You see the response, and Charlie Sykes there at the Bulwark, I think he might step down as editor-in-chief of the Bulwark, so he's still with them. He's the founder of it. He wrote a big detailed piece on NBC News over the weekend about the war room and about the war room posse. Let's say this, he's not a fan. I think we can say it succinctly, he's not a fan. But you see right there, and Morning Meek at the end, no, he's not. They're in full meltdown, but they don't have really any facts. They can't really back this up with anything to talk about what the counter argument is, what President Trump puts out there on their sister station, CNBC. It's all Trump derangement system. It's all illiberal authoritarianism. I mean, he meets with Viktor Orban, who's one of the great defenders of the Judeo-Christian West, and they just completely lose it. But it's all emotion. They never come back with facts. They never come back with, hey, this is what counters their program. This is what these people don't like about our program. This is their argument, but the argument doesn't work. They never do that. And Raheem Kassam, George Raheem, I think you put your finger on it with this buried lead about the Democrats, because right now it's not a rational argument. So they're going to pull out everything, whether it's election stealing, election suppression, however this is going to work. And we'll get into the TikTok and Google and all of that, because the feudal lords of big tech, the tech oligarch feudal lords are going to have not their finger on the scale with the overlords of Wall Street. They're going to be working nonstop to stop Trump. But you dug up this nugget that says little Jamie Raskin and the guys are actively plotting, since they're losing in lawfare, to actually come up with the potential that, although they lost 9-0 about Trump being on the ballot, President Trump being on the ballot, they're actually looking to set up a firestorm for January 6th. How ironic is that? To basically stop President Trump from taking the White House. You want to walk through, and I think Rasmussen has worked on some of this. You want to walk us through, first off, just reset where we are in this. You saw today the emotional response of Morning Joe, and you're just going to get that on and on and on. That's what you're going to get between now and the rest of the year.
Well, I think that's right, Steve, and a very good morning to you and the War Room posse. A couple of weeks ago, we found what can only be described as the buriedest of buried leads, right? Which was in the Atlantic magazine, the Democrats effectively signaling that should there be a Trump victory in November, they would do their uttermost to refuse certification on January the 6th, 2025. Their rationale appears to be January 6th, 2021. They claim that it is incumbent upon the U.S. Congress to not allow a quote-unquote insurrectionist back into the Oval Office, and that therefore they will use that as a mechanism by which to block certification of results on January 6, 2025. So we started to look a little bit deeper, started to scratch beneath the surface of those claims and those conversations that were being made. And thanks to our friends at Rasmussen Reports, we actually now can also reveal this morning some polling data that we have found as a result of that like you said, emotional response to what is going on with Donald Trump and what is going on with the country at the moment. The split screens are all over the place, by the way, and it's against the backdrop of those split screens, whether you want to call them, you know, the border split screens, the State of the Union split screens, the rally split screens. This, what you're seeing on your screens at the moment, ladies and gentlemen, are the numbers that come off the back of that. And what these numbers tell us is that 57% of likely Democrat voters say they support the idea that their representative should reject certification on January 6, 2025, if there is a Trump victory. Those are not small numbers by any stretch of the imagination. Those are massive numbers. Those are concerning numbers. And Steve, those are numbers that set up January 6, 2025 to make January 6, 2021 look
hey,
like a walk
hey,
in the park.
Hey, hang on a second. By the way, we're having DeGrasse on 6 o'clock because he's over at the House is working today. He's going to join us at 6 to go through redistricting and others. And this whole issue, Raheem, about illegal aliens counting in these districts, I mean, this thing's a fiasco right now. This makes the House race, correct me if I'm wrong, this makes the House race for who controls the House as important as the presidential race, because now they literally are inextricably linked. 57%, brother, is a blowout number. That is a blowout. To know that 50% of the, remember, 50% of the Democrats didn't say if he stole it or there's some election interference. Basically, 57% would be prepared to back their congressman if they voted to decertify if Trump won. The operant word there is one, not steal. They're 57%, and that's today. Think about when they work on these crazy people all summer and fall, and Trump's ahead by 5 or 6 points, and they're in desperate. You're going to say, we're leaving the country. We're doing the morning. Mika is going to be not like whimpering at the end. She's going to be groaning up at the top. Raheem Kassam.
Well, this sets up a really important narrative for the U.S. public here, right? A continuation of a Biden regime and a Democrat House carnage, a Trump White House and a Democrat House carnage, a Trump White House and a Republican Congress. Now, through these numbers, you can see is the only way to hit that reset button, to hit that reset button on what's going on the border, to hit that reset button on what's going on with the weaponization of government, to hit the reset button of the administrative state. The Republicans can now go, you know, to their voting publics, to the moderates, to the independents, to the people in the middle, to the people who are not sure, to the people who might want to vote Trump at the top of the ticket, but are not sure about the rest of the way down. They take this data to them and say, look what they intend to do if you send them to the House. You cannot govern like that. You cannot hold a nation together like that.
By the way, Raheem, I'll get to it when we come back. Stick around, because I ought to ask every Democrat runner right now if they support this. Short break. Raheem on the other side.
As we head toward a presidential election in November, one thing you can be sure of, 2024 will be a tumultuous year like no other. How will your hard-earned savings fare during this year? You're already seeing the impacts of inflation at the pump, the grocery store. The dollar continues to lose buying power quicker than your wages can increase. How are you protecting your savings? Consider diversifying with gold from Birch Gold Group. For decades, gold has been the choice of investors and central banks to hedge against inflation. Now you can own it in a tax-sheltered IRA with the help of Birch Gold. Just text Bannon, B-A-N-N-O-N, to 989898, and Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on gold. They'll help you convert an existing IRA or 401k into an IRA in gold. And the best part, you don't have to pay a penny out of pocket. With an A-plus rating, with the Better Business Bureau, thousands of satisfied customers, you can trust Birch Gold. Text Bannon to 989898 to claim your free info kit. That's Bannon to 989898. And secure your savings now. Take action. Text Bannon at 989898. Action, action, action.
Greater because of incompetent people, very incompetent people doing incompetent things. And as far as the dollar is concerned, we're losing countries. We lose Iran. We lose this one. We have Russia that's out. We have many, many countries that we throw out of the system. And we can't lose that system. That system is the dollar. That system is a very important system to the vitality and strength of our country. If we ever do lose that, they take out Russia. China would love to be, you know, the leader of the pack is China, because they'd love to take it over. And it will be possible to take it over if we're not strong. We have to hold countries in. And if countries want to get out, we're going to have to say, well, if you want to get out of our system and go to, let's say, a Russian version or your own version, then we're not going to do any trade with you. And they'll be back in about 2 seconds. But it depends on who's posing that statement to whoever it is, the leader. Like, you're dealing with Macron, or you're dealing with the leaders. You have to be able to talk to them properly. Our people don't know how to talk to them. Our people are like, we go there hat in hand. We're like beggars. Our country is no longer respected. The people representing us are not respected. I just had Viktor Orban, a tough man from Hungary. He was at my place in Florida. I get along with him very well, friendly, but I have respect for him. He made this statement. I thought it was a wonderful statement. He said, we'll solve the problems of the world if Donald Trump comes back. He said Russia was afraid of him. China was afraid of him. We had no problems whatsoever under Trump. And now we have Israel being attacked, which, by the way, would have never happened. We have Ukraine and Russia fighting. That would have never happened. All of those dead people and blown up cities, because Ukraine is now just it's like a demolition site. What they've done to Ukraine, none of that would have happened. All those people would be alive today if the election result were, let's say, correct. It'd be nice.
Okay. Magnificent answer. Let's break that down for a second. Raheem's going to join us here in a moment. Brian Costello is going to be here about TikTok. Melissa Lee. So she's trying to jump Trump there. We cut it a little tight. She tried to jump Trump with a wise guy, as President Trump called a wise guy question. Trying to equate the downgrading we got with January 6th. You notice CNBC, they never get, when they get McCarthy on there, they don't talk about what this really about is about the debt deal they did back in May and June. You know why? The big donors didn't want to be taxed, and that's why the deal went through, and all the advertisers and all the CEOs, all the corporate CEOs. So CNBC's quiet on that. The reason we're downgraded is that we're getting $35 trillion. We got $35 trillion, or close to $35 trillion in debt. What, 2.5 or 3 trillion more than we had back when that deal was cut? And it's getting worse. This week they're going to approve another disaster with $2 to $2.5 trillion deficit. And guess what? Biden's going to put out his budget. 25 budget's coming today. we'll be all over it. There'll be another fiasco. His thing, oh, I'm taking $3 trillion out over 10 years. It's all crap. Don't give me the 10 years. Give me the period zero. Give me this year. So Melissa Lee's trying to be a wise guy. President Trump's talking about the post-war international rules-based order, which obviously needs a big restructuring. But his point is, hey, you have these guys that are trying to get off of our system today and really break the dollar. And if you're going to do that, Trump's got something to say about it. You're not going to do trade with us? I mean, that's the muscle you need. This is why there was peace and prosperity during Trump's term. Because you got to think like that and you got to act like that. That is called leadership. That is called strength. And of course, Melissa Lee's trying to be a wise guy and try to, the January 6th. No. They did it because of the confrontation. Why don't you ask all these other political leaders? Why do you fanboy over McCarthy and don't come up and talk to him about the downgrade? Downgrade is going to get a lot worse. You ain't seen nothing yet. Big story on Zero Hedge Day, one of the top hedge fund guys in the world. He says he's preaching the gospel of war room 2 years to a sovereign debt crisis in the good old United States of America, not Zambia or some sub-Saharan African country or some country in Southeast Asia, the United States of America, a sovereign debt crisis, okay? This is not about people standing up and saying, hey, you can't just have these debt deals and you can't equate it to January 6th. That's being a wise guy. She got blowed up real good, as we say in the business. President Trump coming on strong. Okay, Raheem. The emotion out. You dropped a bomb on us. First off, you're the first guy to pick up the fact. And Jamie Rassi's guys have now been, ever since you added them, they're pretty upfront about it. They're plotting right now. If they can't stop Trump, they know they can't beat him at the polls. That they've given up on that. If they can't stop him with election interference, their second redoubt is January 6th, where they're not going to seat him. It's there. And now you do the polling. The vast majority of Democrats, 57% today, when it really hasn't been promulgated, agree with him. Do they not, sir?
Yeah, that's a really interesting part of it, Steve, is that right now, most of those people who are being polled on this particular question, it's probably the first time they've heard of this. It's probably the first time they've even considered that was a possibility for Democrats if they take control of the House. Some will have thought it through. Most obviously wouldn't have. And so when they start to talk about this, when they start actually having these conversations up front on national television, whether it's the Morning Joes of the world or whether it's in their copies of Atlantic magazine that are delivered into their mailboxes, I expect that number to actually harden. I expect that number amongst Democrats to grow, and I expect the sentiment there to harden. I think what they're going to try and do is now portray, and you think about the hypocrisy of all of this, right, is they're now going to try and portray the non-certification of Donald Trump's victory on January the 6th, 2025, as the last day to save democracy. Mark it in your diaries. Write that phrase down. You will start to hear them parrot that day in and day out as the reality rushes up on them. And the reality is rushing up on them, not just in the split screen way that we've seen, but also in this thing that we've seen over the last week where they're all really excited about the fact that Joe Biden was actually able to deliver a State of the Union address. They were so excited about it that they, in fact, forgot that the content wasn't actually that popular with the American public. The fact he was able to stand up there and give the speech, whatever amphetamines they had him on and so forth, that offered them the tiniest little respite, which is why you're not necessarily going to hear about this week, which is also why I decided, and Rasmussen reports decided, that we are going to drop this week, because it's about drawing them out. It's about drawing the argument out. And to your point of the last segment, we are now going to Democrat offices on Capitol Hill and asking members the question, do you support this or not? And let's hear what they have to say for themselves, because if they're not upfront and honest with their election, with their voting public right now for the election that's coming up in November, then you can see a scenario where this actually makes the situation far worse at the ballot box for the Democrats.
Far worse. One more time, Raheem, just read the question. It's not if Trump stole the election. It's read the question. You got the question's everything. This is what the 57% said. Yes, I'm for that. What's the question?
Yeah, and I encourage everybody, if they can, to go to thenationalpulse.com and get this data. We've put a nice graphic up there as well, but I'll read the question for you here. Some Democrats in Congress have said that if Trump wins this year's election, they will vote against certifying the election results because of Trump's role in the January 6, 2021 Capitol riots. Do you support or oppose Democrats refusing to certify the election results if Trump wins? And Steve, it's worth noting that it's not just Democrat likely voters, 57%, as we've said, who object, who support this move by the Democrats. You look at the numbers amongst black voters, 59% of those polled. You look at the numbers against moderates and independents, or those who register themselves as no party affiliation in this poll. And the number ranges from 30 to 40%. This is huge. This is the fight that the Democrats yes. currently think they want. Let's let them have it.
Let's let them have it. Let's get it with both barrels. I know you got to bounce real quickly. Portugal, the Populist Nationalist Party, I think 18%. What is the symbolism of Orban being with President Trump in Mar-a-Lago for basically the whole day in a big celebration party that night in his honor? How big a deal is that throughout the world?
Well, massive, certainly massive for Viktor Orban domestically as well, you know, coming off the back of this NATO expansion that he's had to fight along the lines of for a while now, and arguably, you know, not to a particularly great W there. So big for him domestically, huge as far as the European populist nationalist parties are concerned. You know, Viktor Orban is very much the plenipotentiary of the populist nationalist right across the European mainland, you know, as much as sort of Nigel Farage is to the English speaking West. For Donald Trump and the MAGA movement. But the result in Portugal is a big one. Chega, which is the quote-unquote far-right party, right, the populist nationalist party of the political right, will now be thrust into a kind of king-making situation in Portugal with the center-right party kind of trying to keep their distance from them, very much a conservative party slash UKIP-style election that you're seeing take place in Portugal at the moment. And of course, a big thing coming out of the United Kingdom this morning as well, the former chairman, deputy chairman of the Conservative Party in the United Kingdom defecting to the Reform Party, that's Nigel Farage's party, giving them their first member of parliament. And of course, the results in Ireland too, where over this weekend, ordinary people, the Irish people, rejected the elite, the media, the party, the government's attempts to rewrite the role of family. It was probably what I would call the ultimate act of political hubris. That is the confluence of the negation of history, God, and family, all in that referendum in Ireland this weekend. So as far as Europeans are concerned, pretty successful weekend.
Pretty good. Where we go to get National Pulse? You guys are on it all day long.
Yeah, and we've had a particularly busy morning this morning. thenationalpulse.com/war room. As I always tell the audience, we are 100% reliant on you, ladies and gentlemen. No ads, no corporate money, no billionaire backing, no political cash. thenationalpulse.com/war room. Thank you, Steve.
Eli Crane, Brian Costello next.
Who can you trust? Government leaders repeatedly fail us. Self-appointed experts have led us astray. Distrust in so-called authorities is spreading like a bad cold. We can't quite shake it, but you are not as powerless as they'd like you to believe. When there's no one to depend on, it's time to rely and depend on yourself. Not sure where to start? Well, try this. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. Grab a 4-week emergency food kit from My Patriot Supply for just $60 off. Think about that. $60 off right now. My Patriot Supply has helped millions of American families reach self-reliance. I want you to think about that. Reach self-reliance. These food kits offer meals, drinks, and snacks that provide over 2,000 calories every single day, sealed inside heavy-duty packaging that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and protect your future with as many kits as you need. These kits ship fast, free, and arrive in unmarked boxes. With My Patriot Supply, when you order by 3 p.m., your food kits will ship the same day. Save $60 per kit. That is $60 per kit at MyPatriotSupply.com. Take action. Use your agency. Action, action, action.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bann.
I think the first two segments teed up the turbulence we have ahead of us. I think gold's heading towards another high today. Make sure we don't give you individual financial advice, but we put you in touch with experts that can walk you through the forces that are driving this. Make sure you go to birchgold.com/Bann and do it today, because things are not going to get any better. This budget, Biden's dropping the 25 budget. We're working on the 24, which is a fiasco. The 25 is going to be 10 times worse. But they're going to prove my point. You're going to have back-to-back years with $2 trillion minimum deficits. That's another $4 trillion on the balance sheet of the nation before Trump takes office. When Trump takes office on the afternoon or high noon on the 20th, we're already going to have 2 to 2.5 this fiscal year, and you've already approved and be running on one that's 2, 2.5 for the next. So another 4 trillion. So we almost have 35. We have 34.5 trillion right now heading to 35, because it's $1 trillion every 100 days. $1 trillion every 100 days. I loved President Trump's response. He was talking in that response this morning about the rules-based international, the post-war international rules-based order, how it's been gamed. That's what the whole end of the dollar empire is about. So get up to speed on it so you can start to basically understand what President Trump's, because his things, I'm going to be banging some heads and we're going to get some good order and discipline in this situation, which I love. Birchgold.com/Bann and do it today. Okay, we've got the Robin Voss recall. They got the signatures for that. We've got this Irish situation, which is kind of like it's not a mini Brexit, but it's Brexit adjacent. We're going to get to all that in a little while. We've got the TikTok situation, the budget this week. Eli Crane joins. Of course, Eli, you guys are working for 2 days and then going for another conference, although I think the TikTok vote's supposed to be Wednesday. But before I get to that, you and Gunny Borelli, two of the best vets I know, are really worked up about this DEI in the military, and particularly not just at the head where you got all these horrible generals we've made and flag officers who are totally woke, and not just the field grade officers, but how it's now down into the whole system. Walk me through the specific case and how this teaches us lessons about the broader currents that are going through our military today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Steve. So about a month ago, Sonny Borelli, who's going to join us in a second, Colonel Wendy Rogers, both state senators from Arizona, read me into a case of a young private named Private Marinon, who's down in South Carolina, who's being held over, and they're trying to basically process him out at a training command. And so they asked me to go down there. I went down there. I was able to interview the private. I was able to interview four of his peers, and then I interviewed the colonel down there and also the general in the chain of command. And then I interviewed the private one more time before I left. And what I found was that it seems to me like the thing that this private is guilty of is being a patriot, a conservative Christian who's opinionated, whose worldview doesn't align with the woke DEI saturated worldview of the armed services. You know, I looked through this case, Steve. Basically, they're trying to make this kid out to be a white supremacist racist. He's not even white. He's from Peru. He's an immigrant who just wanted to serve his country. Now, what I can tell you about him, Steve, is he does stand out a little bit. He's an older private. I think he's about 32, 33 years old. He's married. He has a kid. He wanted to serve his country. And he's the type of young man that he has a little bit more maturity. So when he sees some of the nonsense, you know, he doesn't keep his mouth shut about it. He'll say something about it. And I think that's his biggest crime. But the Army's trying to process him out. When I looked it through the packet and the accusations against him, it was interesting, Steve, because many of the accusations that I read all had the same date and timestamp on it. You know, it was 6:40, you know, p.m., right before graduation, the day before he was going to walk the line and graduate. It was family day. His mom was flying in from Peru. His wife was flying in from Vegas. The kid didn't even know he was going to graduate. And, you know, when I looked through a lot of, I mean, that smelled of a railroad job to me. And after talking to the kid, I know Sonny's talked to him, and many other retired, you know, colonels and veterans have talked to this young man. We see somebody that could be an asset to the military, somebody that could be an asset to the Army. But like I said, is victim to armed forces that has become woke and saturated in DEI.
Gunny Borelli, tell us about your involvement in this. What are your thoughts on this situation?
Well, I first met this man, gosh, a year ago before he even joined the Army. And, you know, he's from Lake Havasu, so he's my constituent. So he reached out to me in November, because this started like in October. And they literally had this man on restriction. They, like it's like Representative Crane said, they wouldn't let him graduate with this platoon, and they held him over. And they had him literally, because he's not in a training command anymore and he doesn't have a barracks, they literally had him sleeping on a cot for 2.5 months, going on 3 months, in a basketball gym, and they eating MREs. I mean, they wouldn't even let this guy go to get a hot shower at the mess hall. So he reached out to me, and of course I reached out to retired Master Sergeant Jack Dona, because he's Army and he knows Army, and I'm a Marine. So I reached out to him. I said, this doesn't smell right. So he did some checking for me, got me in touch with Lieutenant Colonel Pete Chambers. And then, of course, we got in touch with Colonel Jenkins. And then, of course, then we had to get this man a lawyer. Major Wilson, he's a retired Army major. He was also a JAG officer. And so we had to get him an attorney, because here he is sitting around doing nothing, literally restricted to the barracks, the gym on a cot. I mean, that's all fine, good training, but this is beyond that. So his wife was pregnant, ready to have the baby. They wouldn't let him go home on leave. Major Wilson had to get involved, he could go home on leave, see his son being born, and he went back to the base hoping that this thing would blow over and this would just get on with it. But they're trying to separate him out on EO violations. Now, this is what the EO violation started with. Because his screensaver on his cell phone, okay, had a picture, the same identical picture that is the official picture when President Trump was in office. The same photograph that sat in every command deck in the entire armed forces, plus every federal building. The same identical picture. It's his screensaver. So a black female trainee sees this picture and immediately says, Trump's a racist. And he says, no, he's not. Well, then if you support Trump, you're a racist. So now that started the ball rolling. Well, you're a racist. And then, of course, when an openly gay recruit made advances on him, he says, I'm married, leave me alone, I'm straight, and I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in that. So next thing you know, he's a homophobe. Well, the drill sergeant, who's a Hispanic female from East L.A., zeroes in on this guy. And, you know, why are you married to a white girl? And, I mean, just such crazy stuff like that. And, of course, she brags that she's married to a black man. Well, congratulations. This is the problem we have here, okay? As a retired Marine gunnery sergeant, okay, as senior staff NCO, you don't let your, especially recruits, you don't let your subordinates know about your personal life. And you definitely don't give them your personal opinion about, you know, politics or anything like that. You just stick to training. And if you make a mistake, you correct it on the spot. You don't wait 2 months, and then the day before you're graduating, you get three privates in a room and say, everybody fill out this statement, and this is what I want you to say. These recruits are going to say what the drill sergeant tells them to say because they're intimidated. So this is the kind of garbage. So the next thing you know, he's a white supremacist, he's a homophobe, and, you know, this garbage, and they're trying to, you know, out it and kick him out. Now, this has been going on since October.
Hang on. Yeah. Okay, hang on for one second. Crane, Eli, you went and talked to the command. You talked to the two guys in the chain of command that run the deal. I take it this is Fort Jackson. Sounds to me like Fort Jackson, right? So what's the deal? You talk to them. They know they got a problem there? Because they got a problem. Do they know they have a problem or admit they have a problem? The private doesn't have a problem. They got a problem. Do they know that and fess up to it?
Yeah, they said that they know that there's holes in the story, but they said there's still investigations going on. Unfortunately, I was told last week that the investigation would be wrapped up around Wednesday, Thursday at the latest, and a decision would be made. And here we are Monday morning. There's no wrap up of the investigation that I'm aware of. There's no decision being made. And more importantly, this private isn't being moved on to his next command so that he can serve this country. And Steve, I want to tell you something. One of the things that was, you know, very indicative of this whole situation to me was when I talked to four of his peers. OK, I talked to four of his peers that spend all day, every day with this young man. And only one of them was white, Steve. The other three were not. And I asked them, is the private racist? No. Does he treat anybody differently because of the color of his skin? No. What's the deal with him? He's opinionated. OK, that doesn't qualify having this, separating this young man and kicking him out. I also asked all four of them, hey, do you think that this guy's being railroaded? All four of them said yes. So that told me right there, after talking to his peers, this chain of command does have a problem. And that's why I went down there. That's why I asked you if I could come on your show and alert the American people to what's going on with this individual case. But more importantly, what's going on systematically within the bigger Department of Defense and our military.
This is systemic. This is why the Army and the military and the Navy, all of it, it's all messed up right now. Because you got, when I was in, you didn't talk about anything like this. Not even part of the program. Get on with the business at hand, right?
Well, where do you think this leads?
I mean,
Steve, where do you think this leads? Where do you think this is going to lead to when many of our adversaries who are very dangerous and don't care about any of this stuff and all they care about is preparation and lethality. What do you think this leads to? You know what it leads to.
A military that can't fight.
It leads to us getting our tails whipped in a foreign conflict.
Exactly. So what does the command understand that they have a problem and the investigation should be at then? I assume that we're going to start a congressional investigation down there, and hopefully it goes all the way up through Army Training Command. But it ought to include the Navy, the Marine Corps, Air Force, all of it. This is systemic. This private's just one small example of what's out there. Am I too far off base on that, Congressman Crane?
No, you're not, Steve. And I told him, I said, look, you need to move this young man onto his next training command. And if he's as bad as you say he is, then we all know what's going to happen at his next training command. But I said, there's so many holes in this story and all these accusations that you do have a problem on your hand. And if I leave this base and I believe that you're railroading this kid, and me and my friends up here and Sonny Borelli's and the Wendy Rogers of the world and Colonel Jenkins, there's a bunch of us that have eyes on this story, have talked to this young man and are convinced that he's being railroaded. So yes, the Army does have a problem on its hand and we're going to get really loud about it.
Hang on a second, Counselor, we're going to hold you over. Gunny, we got about a minute. Any closing thoughts you've got in this situation? Because we're on, War Room is on, officially on it now, sir.
Good. I reached out to Representative Gosar to get this thing started with their congressional investigation and talk to get with the command. They were withholding this man's process for citizenship, by the way. So here's an immigrant, joins the Army, wants to become a citizen. He went through the training. They wouldn't let him take the test. He finally, Major Wilson got involved in that, and then Colonel Jenkins, he finally takes the test. And the commander was withholding the paperwork for him to get his final swearing in, which, you know, thankfully, he got sworn in as a U.S. citizen last Friday. They're withholding this man's mail, for God's sakes. They wouldn't let him go to church, wouldn't go to the PX. They're still taking away his cell phone. He's no longer in training. They're just holding him, and literally, this is flat out beyond just normal hazing. They're withholding his mail, which is a federal crime.
This is not hazing. This is a struggle. This is Red Guard a struggle session. Gunny, what is your social media? Where do people get you?
Well, I'm not worried about me. You know, you want to send me an email about this, my official government emails, because this is my constituent. It's just sborelli@azleg.gov.
Tax Network USA is pure War Room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers, and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's just not this one incident. By the way, Eli had to bounce for votes. They're getting organized. They're back and actually working today on a Monday. Normally that's a fly-in day. They're back on a Monday working because they're going to leave on Wednesday and have a conference. So they got a lot to get done. One is the TikTok vote, and Brian Costello is going to be here in a second. This is systemic. It's in the Navy. It's in the Marine Corps. It's in the Air Force. It may be less in some branches than others, but the Army's got a big problem. You hear this complaint constantly. You should be focused on war fighting, and they're not. They've turned the Army into, they've turned the military into now a social experiment, social engineering. And you can see right there, DEI infects it all the way down. They were supposed to take it all. Remember, all the woke and weaponized come out of the budget. I don't think so. All of it still independent. They took a little bit on the margins. That's why it's so outrageous about this budget passing and not throwing down. But it's, you have to, I think I put some on Getter today, one of the news reports. You have to come to the realization, the majority of House members, of folks you vote for, the majority of House members don't want to have significant cuts in the budget. They just don't. They don't. Hurtling towards this financial crisis, they just don't. Most of them don't want to take the woke and weaponized out because it's just too hard. And really, I said, most of them not that really serious about shutting the border. It's a lot of lip service, but when it comes to action, there's not a lot. So we're going to get Eli back on. I can tell you, Eli is uncertain on the Wednesday vote of what his vote's going to be. He told me what his vote was going to be on TikTok, but he had to bounce. But he's still sorting it through. I mean, he's an anti-CCP guy, obviously. But there are some, you know, there are some issues out there. We admit that. It's not as strong as President Trump. President Trump's, I think in 18 or 19, was perfect. This was a shut the whole thing down because it's the single most powerful information warfare weapon that the CCP has in the United States, indoctrinating the kids. This is what why the 22 election was so close, didn't hit the polls, was that. Brian Costello joins us. Brian, I realize it's also commercial, going to be used for commercial, I mean, anti-American commercial reasons, but stick to TikTok as an information warfare platform with all the characters involved here, particularly the guys at Sequoia Capital and other people that are CCP, either allies or adjacent allies, sir.
Yeah, Steve. So, you know, people don't know this, but the predecessor, so TikTok is owned by ByteDance, right? And it has two other products, a product called Douyin, which is a short form video, and a product called TaoTao, which TaoTao was the first ByteDance product, and it's in China, and it's basically TikTok, but for news. So what it does is it looks at how long you read an article, and then it starts to serve you more content based on how long you read it. So the Chinese Communist Party loved this, right? Because they could insert content and propaganda in front of people in China using artificial intelligence based on how long they watch things. So they could re-indoctrinate people, right? If all of a sudden you're reading a lot of articles about America, they could shift your focus gradually over time. TikTok used that underlying artificial intelligence technology, and in 2017 bought an American app called Musical.ly, which was a dance app. So this is when you used to hear about TikTok as dance. It's obviously, it's on 170 million phones now. It's controlled by the Chinese.
Hold it. 175, hold it, hang on. 170 million phones in the United States, correct?
170 million phones in the United States, and it's an important demographic. It's not, you know, people over 80 on it, right? It's a much, you know, so it has virtually 100% penetration in the younger demographics, right? And so the real issue here isn't even where the data sits. It isn't who owns the shares of the company. It's the fact that there's an algorithm used that can influence people. And that algorithm can be used to influence people for commerce. Like Shein blew up, you know, the discount Chinese retailer that's destroying, you know, Nordstrom's and TGX and Marshall's and Elizabeth Warren's district and all these companies. Shein blew up because of TikTok, right? This is a tool for them to promote national champion companies, drive discourse in the U.S., and influence our elections for pro-China candidates. Like I'm not sure how this can even be solved by changing who owns the shares, right? And Rubio, Senator Rubio, put out a video last night, which was very good on, like, listen, the issue is this algorithm, who controls the source code and who has access to it. And this is when Trump banned it in the administration. This is where it blew up, right? If China passed a law to not allow the algorithm tech to be transferred to anybody in the U.S., the Chinese government.
Yeah, look, President Trump's first position is the correct position. The one today is not perfect, but it's a start. We got to get something before Election Day. This is, for everybody at home, this is the one that was, we used to show the videos of young Christian girls and Jewish girls that were now converting to Islam, or talking about converting to Islam because they were reading the Quran was a feminist text. And this what influenced. This is built to be an information war platform, and it's the most sophisticated one out there. Is there any? So yes, you want to go back to President Trump's original position, but you've got to start with something. You've got to start with at least breaking up, because there is a good odds that the CCP won't agree to that, that they won't agree to this at all, and let even part of the algorithm go to U.S. buyers, and it may get shut down. Am I incorrect on that, Brian?
Listen, my initial BS detector went up on this thing, Steve, because of a couple things. Like, Neil Shen controls this company for the Chinese government. And anybody who's watched the show knows we've covered Neil Shen, where the National Security Council went in and separated him from Sequoia, right? He runs ByteDance. You know, Vivek Ramaswamy put out a video of, you know, how we need to look at the larger picture and how Airbnb was sharing Chinese with government. I tweeted on that. Pictures of Shen with Airbnb with the propaganda czar in 2015, and an article from the 2015 Times where is Neil Shen. So it's the guy who is head of the ByteDance board, yeah, is the one who facilitates U.S. companies sharing data with the Chinese government, right? And nobody,
Brian,
seems to want to.
Brian, hang on for 1 second. We're going to take a 90-second break. We're going to come back. Jim Rickards is going to join us. Brian Costello is going to join us. We're going to drill down a little more, because this all gets back also to Sequoia Capital and Neil Shen. Make sure we're talking about advances in artificial intelligence. That's one of the things underlying the platform of TikTok that makes it so powerful. Now you have on the home title lock side, you've got the combination of cyber and advanced artificial intelligence tools that are making it actually more lethal to you and to the net worth and capital you've got invested in your home. Don't let anybody take out a second hard money loan on your house. HomeTitleLock.com. Immerse yourself today in information. Short commercial break. We're going to be back. Jim Rickards is going to join us next in the war room.
True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt. and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. Done with Debt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer, and taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code WARROOM at checkout to save 67%. Do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.